on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Just shake your body. All I wanna do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Just shake your body. All I wanna do is on my zoom, zoom, zoom. I know for a fact that back in the day, you could be at your favorite establishment in Aggieville, and Rex in Effect would be on, and Nick Leckie would be out on the dance floor turning it out. I just feel like that was a scene that definitely happened at least multiple times in college. Is that the fact, Nick Leckie?
Oh, hey, Teddy Riley was my guy. That was a club banger.
Yep.
Now, I was 10 years old when that came out, and I remember when it came out because I really did. MTV was at the height of its prime, and I really thought the song was about zooming in on a video.
You just want to zoom in. And now it means you want to get on a Zoom conference call with your family on Thanksgiving,
totally
right?
Changing.
Like, you're just going to zoom, zoom, zoom tomorrow.
Wholesome. It's totally wholesome now. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I do remember, though, as I got older, and I was like, oh, my God, the song is about sex. I was like, okay.
You know,
it was revelation.
I feel like every song that I liked as a kid, it was like there was a moment in time, like the song "It's Tricky," you know, by Run DMC. Man, I loved me that song when I was in fifth grade. First cassette tape I ever owned. I running around, recite every line of that, and you look back on it, it's like, I met this little girlie. Her hair was kind of
Oh, wait, is that song? Did you? I feel like Phoebe Buffay and Friends right now, where like her they turned off Old Yeller before they had to finish it. Is that song? Is that another one about lovemaking?
There's a couple things
about
it. They're pretty much all about lovemaking at some point, right?
Both. I grew up on, like, I was a little more rock and roll guy, so like AC/DC was my jam, and I was getting every song.
Oh, you shook me all night long.
Not even those. It's just, I mean, it's giving the dog a bone. Okay.
Wow.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I remember it took, I was in high school and I was listening to Led Zeppelin and it was like the lemon song.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know what squeezing that lemon was? See?
Until he pointed that out, I'm like, oh, my God. But I'm not a lyrics guy. I don't listen to lyrics. To me, the lyric is like another melody.
You just want the beat.
That's why I love, I just want the beat and the lyrics, to be nothing. Like, I have a favorite song, but I couldn't tell you what the lyrics are.
Yeah.
Like Hansel from Zoolander, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick Leckie's our guest, and I want to ask you a not as specific about a game question. You know, we talked about Chris Kleiman on the Zoom yesterday, and he was talking about the importance of going and playing games. And even though, like, the Cats were a little undermanned last week, they were down to backup linebackers, only had a couple guys, he thinks it's important to play these games because, you know, the guys work really hard to go play. And they put all the work in, and they, you know, most of these guys aren't going to go get to be Nick Leckie and be Super Bowl champions in the National Football League afterwards. And can you, I don't know if it's possible to put yourself in, you know, 21-year-old Nick Leckie's mind, to put yourself in this pandemic knowing that, hey, man, we may go up to play a really good team with only like 53 guys. I mean, it's not going to be very good. We may not win. I'm guessing you would still vote, let's go play, right? I mean, because that's what you do this for. You want to go play these games. And even if you're a little undermanned, it's still worth doing.
Oh, yeah. And you have to think the confidence level when you're 18 to 21 is absolute 100%, where you'd be like, shoot, we can go play these guys with my high school team and we're going to put the hurt on them. So you're never out of it, and especially with college football just changing from week to week, is you're never out of it. You've always got a chance, and I'm sure the defense not having two of your key linebackers hurt or doesn't help, but you're always going to want to play that game. You're always going to vote to it, because I think if you get playing time, so you know you're not going to win national championship this year, and it's just good to get those reps in, and it's good to focus on something to have some sort of sense of normalcy and a distraction, if you will, from life. And so I think, I would always vote to go, for sure. And by the way, I can always put myself in 21-year-old me shoes, because I'm still in my 17-year-old me shoes or 15-year-old me shoes.
It hasn't changed at all.
It hasn't changed at all, yeah.
I think one of the things about Kleiman in this situation is, I think it shows that he is very established with who he is, the style of program he wants to run. He's not worried about his job. It's 2020. Everything's wacky. It's crazy. And he's got some collateral with Gene Taylor. I mean, so I think some of these coaches are maybe out there where it's where they're like, oh man, if I lose a game, you know, and maybe they're making choices for themselves and
exactly.
maybe not choices that the players want to do. Is that possible?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, and I think that's the thing. Sometimes you get a feel for like the coaches and you could tell it's like, they want to move on. You can tell that they're not settled. Like a Matt Rhule at Baylor, right? Like they're not here for the long term. And look at a guy like Klieman, is that he's going to flourish at K-State, and he wants to be here for the long term. So he's developing future players, and that's why you play these games. So you get there's no simulation or there's no match for game speed, game tempo. Even if you do scrimmages and practice and during 2 days. You just can't simulate it. And so to get that feel of, you know, maybe it was, I think it was a partial crowd, their names, and to get that live reps, as they say, is perfect. So, yes, you definitely need those. You know, it's like it's a good way to evaluate talent, figure out weaknesses and see what your strengths are and build upon those.
So what do you think is going to happen with the quarterback situation the rest of the year for K-State?
Well, it looks like they're probably splitting reps from everything I've read online. Between Aston Howard, and it's just tough for Howard because, you know, coming to a bad situation, right? You got to go as a true freshman, maybe pushed your timeline up a little bit, and then there's some confusion with, I think the distractions are rough, but when you have 10 or 12 guys who are entering your transfer portal, there's going to be some confusion. I mean, it's not going to affect you too much, and by no means am I blaming any loss on that, but it just, when you feel like you're a team in disarray and you're free-falling, it's just difficult. And then with guys going in and out of the COVID protocol, it's just a big distraction, right? And it's a lot to handle for anybody. I mean, this is, you know, new playbooks for everybody. There's no precedent for it. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where I mean, since Arkansas State, the first loss at home, I just chalked this year up to COVID.
It's an unusual year for sure. There's no doubt about that. Before we get on to the NFL, what do you think is going to happen this weekend? You know, Baylor doesn't have a lot of wins, but they've been really close in some games. This is going to. I mean, the betting line is Baylor's favored to win this game. That's been the case most times for K-State. They've won some. They've covered, and last week wasn't very good. But what's your initial thought here about this game?
So I like that it's a night game, you know, and I think Baylor and K-State are in the same boat where they're like, okay, we're looking to get back on track. And I think if you're Baylor, obviously you have a lot more to play, but obviously getting a lead will be crucial. Home field is not quite home field this year. So, you know, that advantage is a bit skewed even down there at McLean Stadium, beautiful place, Waco, Texas. But I think, you know, we're going to figure out, you know, who Klieman wants to put in. It's going to be Astor or Howard. And so we'll see. Definitely look forward to watching it.
The game I'm really looking forward to watching this weekend is Iowa State, Texas. I mean, this big time Big 12.
That's Nick's son's Texas Longhorns.
Former team. His son's former team. We've already covered this.
They fixed that last year, didn't you?
Yeah, so who's he going to be rooting for, Iowa State or Texas in this one? More importantly, what do you think about this game? Because I think it's going to be a great game to watch and the stakes are high.
I think that Iowa State, you know, is coming off a big win. So I think it'll be crucial for them to kind of see how they handle that sort of pressure, and see if they're the real deal or not. Because I don't think, I mean, that's a good Iowa State team, but 45-0 versus K-State, I mean, that's an anomaly, right? So, and then we're gonna see down there how they play at Austin, 11 a.m. You know, it's gonna be big time. I'm looking forward to it for sure. And they're see how they do as the favorite. Are they the favorite?
I think Texas is 1.5-point
favorite, so it's home field. So basically, it's a pick'em game.
Pick'em. Yeah, so we'll see. Well, I like to see how Iowa State deals with adversity, in the sense of they're not like, I guess, the sort of underdogs, but not really just because they're on the away game. But I think they do well when everyone overlooks them. So you're right; it'll be a true test of what Iowa State is capable of.
Yeah, Nick Leckie is our guest, and we'll be looking forward to that one for sure. Because if Iowa State wins. They're basically going to be in the Big 12 title game. I think there could be some weird things with whatever happens on Saturday and could be some tiebreakers. But if they lose, there's a chance that they could kind of be screwed on the title game because of tiebreakers, depending on what K-State and Texas do the next week and what happens in other games. There's an oddball scenario where there's four teams tied with two losses in the league, but that cannot happen if Texas doesn't win out. So this is a big game. It's as big a game as I can remember for Iowa State late in the year. Right? I mean, they've said some big games early, but this is a chance to finally come to where they want to go with Matt Campbell. They've had all these games with Matt Campbell. Oh, they beat Texas, or they beat Oklahoma, or they beat TCU when they're number 10, and then they just don't finish the whole thing up. They got a chance to kind of finish this thing up and get into the title game, and I think that would be really cool for Iowa State to make their first Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, it would be huge, too, and I think to kind of advance that program as well, because they're sort of mired in that, 8-9 win sort of zone. Sort of like the old Solich, like Solich, Nebraska, right? And so I think it's just something that they need to take that next step, and this would be that next step, to win an away game versus a ranked opponent in a crucial time in November, you know, because, you know, they haven't had some success in November, and everyone remembers November.
That's where you go get it done. The games in November, December, the ones you remember. Let's talk a little NFL now. It took all the Chiefs had to get this win. I don't know if it's just a bad matchup against the Raiders. They've barely breathed on Derek Carr in two games, and he's picked him apart. His numbers against everyone else in the league are not what they are against the Chiefs. First off, let's talk about the bad. The defense wasn't as good as they need to be, probably, against the Raiders. Do you think it's a matchup situation, or do you think there's some real problems with the Chiefs' defense?
You know, there definitely could be some issues at hand. You know, I think it was crucial for them in the first half to hold them to just a field goal. And, you know, the timely interceptions are big time, right? Like, the Mahomes interception in the first half was crucial because they got the ball back in the second half. And then the Carr interception to end the game was not crucial because that ended the game. So defense stepped up where they could. Definitely a heavyweight bout, for sure. I mean, just going toe-to-toe and look at Oakland or Vegas. You know, they didn't sack the quarterback at all either. So I mean, you could say the same thing about the defense. It was just an offensive-minded game, really, and the offenses did their job and they limited the defense's pass rush attack. They were able to execute well.
What do you think of this matchup against the Bucs with Tom Brady? Do you think he's over the hill at this point? Finally, it's been said for about 7-8 years now. People have been proclaiming it, but he had a rough game this past weekend against the Rams. How big of a threat are they to the Chiefs?
You know, you really have to put a speaking of great defensive lines, I mean, that Rams defensive line is ferocious. And I think Tom Brady, I think the game, I don't want to say the game has moved past Tom Brady, but in this day and age with super athletic defensive tackles and ends and linebackers, you have to have a quarterback with just a little bit of elusiveness. And the fact that Tom Brady just can sit back in the pocket and someone can you know, take him down by grabbing his legs, right, that doesn't bode well. I mean, he's got to have a super clean pocket to exist. So I don't take any stock in that, and I think they're going to be ready. And you know, the Bucs have you know, kind of revamped their offensive line with AQ Shipley at center, and they moved Jensen to left guard. So you know, I'm kind of concerned that Tampa is going to be able to do what the Raiders could do to the Chiefs.
To put this in perspective, Nick Lecky, do you feel like a young man, or no? Do you feel all of your 38 years? You feel them all?
No. Well, I first of all, internally, I feel like I'm 85, just with like arthritis and like, you know, everything, all my body aches. And then mentally, I feel like I'm 15.
Right. Right. So I identify with that, man.
When Nick Lecky entered the NFL, Tom Brady had already won a couple of Super Bowls. I mean, that's how old this dude is. Does that boggle your mind? Listen, he's playing a different position, but there are linemen who play to your age, or you know, Whitworth, right? Just
Bruce
got
Matthews.
Hurt the other day. Yeah. I mean, that guy's been in the league forever. Can you even imagine with your body being what it is right now? You've been out of the league for a while, trying to stay fresh, right? Getting out of it, playing that long.
No, absolutely not. But I think the thing with Brady is that his game was never speed and elusiveness. His game was, I'm going to build a fort and I'm going to attack out of this fort. That's what I'm going to do. So, yeah. So but, that's why, no, his game does not surprise me. Like, remember that email where he wrote to his father and it was, like, leaked or whatever, and he laughed at that. He said, Peyton only had a couple years and I've got, you know, 7-8 more years left in me. And that's true, you know. He goes down like a fainting goat and, you know, it doesn't take a lot of hits. smart.
People age differently, but also it's a different job. I mean, the job that you did, it's impossible.
There are 37, 38-year-old guys out there running around getting beat up on the line.
Yeah, but there ain't 43-year-olds. But I guess there haven't been 43-year-old quarterbacks very often either. I will say this, man. We played tackle football in the backyard of our house out in western Wyandotte County when I was in high school all the way through college. We would all get, my buddies and I would all get together. And then even in college over Thanksgiving weekend and Christmas, we would play these tackle football games, and my 50-year-old old man would get out there and play all-time quarterback. And I remember all the other kids were like, dude, I can't believe your dad is out here. There's no way on God's green earth my old man would be out here playing tackle football. And he got hurt. That's probably the reason my dad has an artificial shoulder, an artificial hip, and an artificial knee now. But I've always respected that, Nick Leckie, because you know what? You got to keep that youth in some aspect of your life, right? You got to.
You have to. No, you absolutely have to. And I like the I'm a big fan of those basketball videos on YouTube where it's like the dork goes up to play basketball, like in Venice Beach, and just dunks on people and shooting threes. Like I know, I just know I don't play hoops ever. But I know if some guy shows up with a fanny pack looking like a dork that he's about to dunk on me. Yeah. Like, come on. I would like to do that with football. I would like to – honestly, I'm not glad. I would like to go play backyard football with some people and when the world gets healthy. I think it would be fun.
So you think the Chiefs win this game?
Yes, I do. I do. I think it's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be a battle. And I think that if – I don't think – I wonder if Spagnuolo is going to be able to dial up as much pressure as he did versus Carr, because he was bringing it. And I think Vegas, the Raiders, did a great job of picking up those blitzes, man, because they were sending everybody. And so I think Tom Brady, you know, if you get him early, you know, I think you can get after him. But if you let him hang around, he's Tom Brady still, and he'll flex. And he comes, you know, big-time players, big-time games, right?
Yeah, and he doesn't have too many bad games in a row, so that's kind of the fear factor, I think, for the Chiefs. Now, before we get to Thanksgiving food talk, because I know Nate wants to do that before we let you go, and I know you love food, what is it, like the first of 18 rounds of Texas high school football? How's Grapevine this year? This ends sometime in January. What's going on with Texas high school football?
You know, it's always funny to me that, like people, like, they're like, there's, like, state champions or stuff like that, when I'm like, man, in school, man, Thanksgiving break was if you won the first round of playoffs, your second week of playoffs was right now. And I know last year, 6A Division II, they play an extra game. They had their final on Christmas Eve. So
plenty to go.
State
championships are all this week here in town, but it's like down in Texas, they're just getting started, baby.
They really are, though. I mean, honestly, they really are. So they really are just getting started. So I have no clue. I think Grapevine won. I don't know. I really don't know this year. I mean, just so weird. I don't see anything on the Twitter feed. I still maintain that they got cooler uniforms than K-State. They have like four or five different selections.
Of course.
That needs to change.
Of course.
Of course, right?
I mean, that's how you roll in Texas. And by the way, we'll talk state playoffs with Deion Clisso coming up later on this hour. When you said that mentally you're 15 years old, Nick, it did make me think. I have a quickish Nate story on that. There's a guy in town, and he goes to the same church as me, and his kids go to the same school as me, and he owns a company where they make roasted nuts, and it's called D's Nuts.
And, oh, that's funny.
He gave me a T-shirt that says D's Nuts on the front, and then on the back it says, yeah, we really sell nuts. And one day I was wearing the T-shirt, not thinking about it, and my 10-year-old son said, hey, Dad, what does that shirt mean, D's Nuts, you know?
And
I said, you know what nuts are, right? Like what it means when people say nuts, like, and he goes, yeah. And I said, well, you know, D's Nuts. and it's like the light bulb went off on his head, and the two of us just giggled for like 3 minutes straight. You know, we just laughed.
And then two days later, the email came from school. Well, and he said this at school.
No, my wife witnessed the whole thing, and she just looked at me like, and she just shook her head. She goes, how does it feel to be on the same comedic level as a 10-year-old boy?
Great.
And I was like, you know what? It feels fine.
Love it.
Feel great.
It feels fine. Like, yeah. I like the fact that my son and I, like, it didn't take much more than me just saying, you know, D's Nuts. And then we can laugh for 5 minutes at that.
This is home talk, though, son, not school talk.
Yeah.
But just randomly, I go, where's my school book? I go, look at your butt, and they'll just laugh. And it just, I love it. It's so primitive.
Yeah, your butt jokes never, they never get old. And if they do, what's the point? You know, just, it's
exactly.
All right, so what are we, Thanksgiving food? I know, Nick, your team Thanksgiving like I am.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What are you looking for?
Greatest man holiday, right?
Oh, man.
Greatest holiday.
Yep.
No gifts. Watch football, eat, drink, nap.
Yep.
Sweatpants.
Repeat.
Football, college, and pro.
Mm-hmm.
What gets better than that? Leftovers for days.
Yep.
Variations. Deep fried turkey. I'm going to go buy some oil today.
You got the turkey fryer?
Yep.
Have you done it before? I got a turkey fryer this summer so that I could start doing shrimp boils, but I have never fried a turkey, so I'm not going to try this year. But you've done it before?
Oh, gosh. I've been doing it since 2002.
Yeah?
Yeah. I remember coming home from college, and like my mom's like, let's deep fry a turkey. I'm like, all right, cool. So I remember printing out instructions from the internet. We didn't have – because the desktop was upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a printout instruction. I couldn't look at my phone because, you know, what's a phone, right? And, printing them out and doing it that way. So going to inject it with some butter and some Tony Satcheriers or Cacheriers, however you say that, let it chill for 24 hours in the fridge, and then deep fry it tomorrow. Also, fun fact, I bought a cheese board. I'm going to make a cheese board.
Wow.
For Thanksgiving to start with lunch. I know.
Like a little charcuterie.
Charcuterie board.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to Better Cheddar on the plaza and you know, got a bunch of stuff from there. And I'm excited because I'm a cheese guy. I don't know if you guys know that or assume that, but I love
pretty
cheese.
Pretty cheesy. How about dessert?
Pretty cheesy. He said that. When we were in Arizona, went to Ruth's Chris one time on Thanksgiving. My wife and I, she's pregnant with our first son. And we stole this dish from there, got the recipe. It's called it's Ruth's Chris, and it's their sweet potato casserole. And it is the perfect, like the perfect combo of dessert and side. We call it a side dirt. Side dirt? Decide. A decide. A decide.
Okay.
Decide. And it's like the greatest. Like look it up. And
okay.
It is decadent. It's made with like maple syrup, brown sugar. Yeah, it's damn good. And it's like I said, I'm not a big sweets guy, but that's like the perfect blend for me.
Good. Mm. Got some marshmallow on top of it or no?
I don't think there's any marshmallow
on
top of it. Yeah, no,
so just
no it's none of that, none of that nonsense. I don't like to add that. Like, you added marshmallow to the mix, then it like makes it a dessert.
Thank you.
But the fact that you know, you don't add that into it makes it that like the side.
I don't. Yeah. I'm anti adding marshmallows to desserts.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Or to the sweet potatoes. I don't need marshmallows on top of my sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are delicious. You know, maybe a little brown sugar is fine.
Nate won't even put marshmallows on his s'mores. Wait,
butter,
you kind of need
brown sugar, vanilla, pecans. That's the recipe.
Yes.
It's pretty sugar.
Yes.
It's pretty damn simple.
Just a little bit of sugar, like 2 teaspoons or a bag.
You know, just a little bit, half a bag. You know, with sugar though, right? I mean, if you're used to pink or blue stuff, real sugar, you got to pour in like half a bag to get any sort of sweetness.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Need it.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really do. It's wild. It's wild. In case you were wondering, Grapevine, I looked it up. Grapevine, Texas, they have a district game this Friday, and then they have another district game December 4th, and then playoffs start.
There we go.
Start the playoffs in December.
heck, the playoffs may go until January this year, probably, right? Because they started a little late, maybe. Who they got in districts? Is it a rival?
I don't know. It's all. Well, I know the last game is Wyatt, and I remember we played Wyatt my junior year when we won state. It was like the second game of the year, and they had some monsters on that team.
This guy's just a Texas State champ, a Big 12 champ, and a Super Bowl champ. That's all he is.
And a wrestling. Don't forget wrestling champ, too, Todd. I was 20-0 in wrestling.
That was 125? What were you wrestling at there?
Oh, yeah, exactly. 89. Right?
That's a heck of a weight cut.
I had to cut weight, man. I had to cut weight to wrestle at 277 in high school.
Hey, I tell you what, man. Lake Quivira is the home of K-State champions.
That's right.
These days, your guy Robert Streb, we had him on the show yesterday. K-State Wildcat out there winning PGA events, man.
Yeah, I know, and that's so damn cool.
Awesome,
oh, man, he's awesome.
You're out there, Lil' Jah still out there?
Come on, Lil' Jah, the Lil' Jah bros out full in effect here, running Bartertown. His older brother Brady's the mayor. You know, Ryan, the golf ambassador, I guess. Him and Robert. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, we had a good time in the 19th hole. Ryan and I did the other night, celebrating that win for Robert. That was so cool.
Good
so
stuff. Cool. Good stuff.
I mean, just lining that thing from the rough.
Yeah,
about 2 inches from the hole when it counts. Unreal.
Yeah, he said he couldn't even see. He walked up and go, "Oh wow!"
He
really
thought he
good.
Hit like 10 yards past the hole.
But, oh, nice.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
I'll take that $1 million in the exemption. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Ooh, for real. Two more years.
Nice little Sunday.
Right?
Yeah,
that's right.
I know, right?
Hey Nick,
exactly.
Happy Thanksgiving, man. We love you, brother, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys.
That is Nick Lecky. We are going to talk with Mike DePasquale. Mike's got this next.
You're tuned into the.